Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking a moment.
No problem.
I appreciate it. I know you've probably been bombarded all day.
Mm-mm.
No, not too bad?
No, this is one of two interviews for the day.
Oh, swell. Well, thank you again for taking time.
There was supposed to be more, but it ended up, like, the timing got mixed up.
So. Yeah. So how you feeling?
I actually have a cold.
Yeah, you sound a little stuffed up.
Yeah, I have a cold, but besides that, I'm feeling good.
Good. Wonderful. Well, good health to you.
Thank you.
So October the 24th, you're going to be coming to the University of Connecticut at the Jorgensen Center for the Performing Arts.
Yeah.
And I wanted to take this time to welcome you.
Thank you.
And for those unfamiliar with your show, what could people, let's say they just happened to get this ticket, what could they expect from a show that you're going to be a part of?
Well, what to expect? I guess in general, the show is, I try to be true to the music in that, try to make it so that it's somewhat dynamic, rather than just one thing. I think the dynamics change throughout the show. There's definitely improvisation, there's definitely structured songs. There's moments where it's like dub music, which I don't know if that's something people are familiar with.
Oh, yes.
But it's, there are moments where it's like high energy rock, and then there are moments where it's sort of, just soft and mellow. So I guess that's, you know, what to expect is just kind of like a little musical experience. You know?
A journey, like a, it sounds like a nice goulash or a stew, or just a big blend of different
yeah.
things.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I hope at least that it's somewhat of a real, you know, a real experience for people. Like it's really, there's momentum, there's something real happening, and that's kind of like what I go for, is to have a real experience, to have a real emotional experience, to have. Really something to say when we perform. And a lot of times I'm unable to calculate exactly what that's going to be or how it's going to happen,
the crowd plays a big effect on that.
The crowd definitely plays a big effect on it. A lot of times I even realize, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely the energy of the crowd plays into it, because I don't like to just hit people with something that they're not ready for, that they're not interested in. You know? If the crowd is really hyped, for example, then I try to deliver what people want to some degree. And if the crowd is more meditative, you know, and more just kind of laying low, then I'm not going to try and just get them riled up, you know.
So do you have sort of a set list, but you kind of change it midstream?
Well, we go in with a set list, but if certain things we don't feel are right, we change them.
Perfect.
Also, within the set, we leave a lot of space to within the songs themselves, space to do different things. You know.
Yeah, I really have enjoyed the live at Stubbs. What a nice release.
Thank you.
And now you have a new album out, Youth.
That's right.
It's a fantastic follow-up. And just recently, you are the only artist with two albums in the top 40?
Yeah, that was, you know, when Youth came out.
Yeah.
I think it was in
June.
In the spring or early summer.
Yeah. So that's pretty impressive.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's pretty impressive. It's a little strange.
Yeah.
The way the record company did it and the way it happened, being a little unexperienced and stuff and wanting to put out that record after having toured with Live at Stubbs and playing those same songs, and we were anxious to get the record out when it was strange when if you have a record that's selling 25,000 copies a week, you don't normally throw out another record on top of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Business wise, wasn't the smartest move, but that's the way it goes. Live and learn.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Live and learn. And I think, you know, something, if there is a message at times in throughout your music, be it history, religion, things of that nature, which you include, I think that is part of the lesson, is that's the way it is, live and learn.
Yeah.
And, I mean, your approach, certainly, who would have thought, what a blend, you know, with reggae.
Yeah.
And so how did that all come about for you? You know, were you just sitting in a room one day and you said, this is what I'm going to do?
The way it happened with what aspects exactly?
Well, you know, I imagine you wow, New York, aren't you?
Yeah. Trying to get off this busy street. I'm sorry. Hello?
No trouble.
So you're saying
how did you decide that this was going to become your sound?
Let's see.
With sort of the reggae flavor as a backbone.
It wasn't really a calculated decision. It was more of a metamorphosis, mm-hmm. in that the music that I kind of created has always been just sort of an outcoming of the music that I listened to. And depending on the artist at the time that I was listening to and whatnot, that really affected the music that I was making. So, all the music and the different styles that I listened to in the past, they all kind of, just came together. They all left their mark quite strongly. So, for example, I guess, I was listening at one point when I was in college, and I was living in the city. I was listening to this artist, SZA, and I was very, very much all the time. Basically, I would buy tapes, instrumental tapes of those songs, and I'd play them in my PA system at home, and I would turn up this all away, and basically just plug in my microphone and write lyrics and express,
express.
But as we started playing as a band and with musicians who are definitely very capable of improvisation and coming from a rock background and a dub reggae background also. So each musician in my band comes from a totally different musical place. So sort of we come together and just more and more try to loosen up and get out of the strict structure of the songs and let things happen. And because, because all the time I spend listening to Fish and going to those concerts and stuff like that, I was totally open to that and open to letting things come up, using the music as a form, as like a blanket, to just create some kind of atmosphere where real things will come out of it, real ideas and real emotions. Yeah. Sometimes when you're just stuck in the song, and you're singing that song every night, it's hard to let new things happen. And the definition of something new happening, or some change happening is life, because that's life, things getting out of the pattern, getting out of the routine,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what happens when you step back and allow something to happen.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the name of my radio show is Green Arrow Radio, because one day my wife and I were just at the light, and we weren't going to turn this direction, but all of a sudden the green arrow just popped on, and we decided instead of going straight or right, let's go left. And, we totally ended up doing a completely different thing than we planned that day.
Right.
And that's, that's the style that I take my radio show on, and that is what attracted me to your music, is I can get that sense of, improv, sense of being able to say, all right, here's what I'm doing, but it's not going to be the same all the time. I'm willing to take a chance.
That's wonderful.
And that's what I appreciate about your sound.
Well, thank you very much.
And I think the performance that folks will see October 24th here at Stores is going to just... be very unique for them, something they can't even imagine, even if they've heard your music before.
Yeah, that's what we go for.
And that's a special treat compared to just going to sit in the seat that if you went to any venue around the world, that same artist might do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
So it is a rare treat for ears that need it. And thank you. So thank you for bringing that to people.
No problem.
How was your experience at Bonnaroo?
This year, my experience was really good. I mean, going from last year, we were sort of like band, and so we had quite a few people at our show, but coming back this year as sort of like a as a known entity and playing in front of I don't know how many thousands and thousands of people was thrilling. And then I had a lot of good friends that were with me because it was the Sabbath. And I hadn't been able to see my friends because we've been touring for so long. So a bunch of rabbi friends of mine who used to be not religious and used to be on Dead Tour and all that, Fish Tour. Mm-hmm. They all came out, and we got a tent, and we made the Sabbath at the festival, which was very exciting and like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So it allowed me to kind of, you know, not just show up to the show or hang out on my bus and then come out and play the show, but because I had these guys there that, you know, they had been part of that scene, and they've been so far removed from the scene for so long now. They were so excited to come back in this different context. And we basically, you know, we went out, we saw Radiohead, and we ran around the place, and we got a golf cart and goofed off and ran around the place. And we had a huge cake fight one day, and then I just left my clothing on from this huge cake fight the whole weekend. And it was a lot of fun.
Sounds like college all over again.
Yeah, it was.
You need that.
Yeah. So listen, I got to go because I have the Sabbath.
Yep, and it's getting dark. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And I will see you on the 24th.
You got it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.